This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The trial is a sham trial. It does not meet all the standards, the international standards of fair trial.
That was Issa Sanusi, the country director for Amnesty International in Nigeria, on the trial of protesters on treason charges. Details coming up. Also, Ugandans living in North America gather in Washington, D.C. And Eswatini aims to make its deadly MR3 highway safer. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. 10 people are on trial for treason in Nigeria in connection with anti-government protests that erupted last month over high cost of living. The defendants could face the death penalty if convicted. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja on the case, which Amnesty International has condemned.
The 10 defendants went on trial Monday in a federal court in Abuja, where they were charged with treason and for conspiring to incite the military to mutiny. A bail hearing is set for September 11th. The protesters have pleaded not guilty to the charges. In early August, thousands of protesters in Nigeria took to the streets to denounce President Bola Tinubu's economic policies and government. Bola Tinubu scrapped expensive fuel subsidy payment last year upon assuming office and soon afterwards floated the national currency, the Naira. Authorities accused protesters of inciting public unrest and burning government buildings, but pledged to address the economic hardship. The case has drawn the ire of human rights group Amnesty International. Issa Sanusi is the country director for Amnesty in Nigeria.
What they are doing is just a deliberate effort to psychologically and physically break down these people who are resilient, people who are committed and came out to express their anger over the way the nation is being run as a result of corruption and mismanagement. So the trial is a sham trial. It does not meet all the standards, the international standards of fair trial.
Amnesty also condemned the trial as a sham and mockery of Nigeria's rule of law. The human rights group said the government is attempting to stifle dissent and called for the protesters to be released and charges withdrawn immediately. The 10 defendants are among hundreds of protesters who were arrested during demonstrations last month over the high cost of living. Nigeria is experiencing its worst economic crisis in a generation. The nationwide protests, tagged 10 Days of Rage, hit Nigerian cities in early August. Demonstrators were demanding better governance and a reversal of government reforms, which included the scrapping of fuel subsidy. During the demonstrations, protesters in northern Nigeria hoisted Russian flags as they marched and chanted for President Vladimir Putin to come to their aid. The protests were met with a fierce crackdown by security killed. Amnesty Sanusi says Nigerian authorities should focus on investigating these killings. Sanusi also says Nigerian authorities have been denying the detained protesters access to family and legal representation.
These people have not been allowed to have access to adequate legal representation or legal assistance. And you know, treason carries death penalty according to the Nigerian law. So that is the tactic they use. They use this ambiguity, the suspense of being taken to court to break down the spirit of these protesters. And we condemn this misuse and manipulation of the Nigerian judicial system to suppress people.
The government has not responded to Amnesty International's statement, but in the past, the government often says it is working in the interest of national security. The legal counsel for the protesters, Deji Adeyanju, says a team of lawyers is working to secure their release.
The charge against the protester is completely unacceptable, you know, because it's an attempt to criminalize freedom of assembly. The criminalization will be resisted. That's what I'm saying. I'm one of the lawyers in the matter, so I don't want to overcomment before it becomes sub judice.
On Monday, Nigerian police also declared British national Andrew Wynne wanted for allegedly plotting to topple the Nigerian government. The Associated Press reports the British High Commissioner has not responded to a request for comment. The police also says 9 suspects have been arrested in connection with receiving monies from foreign sources to destabilize the country. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
The Ugandan North American Association, UNAA, the primary formal organization for Ugandans living abroad, organized a 3-day conference in Washington, D.C. The convention promoted cross-cultural collaboration through technology, innovation, healthcare, networking, and investment to support Uganda's economic development. Dr. Shaka Sali, the former host of VOA's Straight Talk Africa, received a Lifetime Achievement Award for his outstanding contributions to the media and for inspiring the next generation of young journalists across Africa. VOA's Paul Ndiho covered the event, and he spoke with Ugandans at the conference.
Ugandans in North America are here attending their annual gathering, commonly dubbed as UNA, or Uganda North America Association, an organization that brings together Ugandans from across different parts of North America, from the United States, Canada, and other countries within this hemisphere.
We're celebrating 36 years of existence. We are, I would say, the oldest and most organized African organization in the diaspora. And the reason we organize these conventions is to pull Ugandans from the diaspora, pull them together to go through different discussions, network and talk about business opportunities and, you know, how we can basically grow ourselves.
And this is a platform that brings Ugandans that stay in this part of America and goes from back home to meet each other, to reunite and even share networks and business ideas and everything on how they can better contribute back home.
I am with Luganda Academy. We are based in D.C. and like an online language culture instruction in for Luganda language.
This is the annual Uganda convention. It takes place every week, you know, once a year in different cities around the country. This year it happens to be in Washington, D.C.
Coming from Uganda, bringing affordable housing to our people and the community in America, we put up affordable housing projects, that is our apartments that are under condominium arrangement. We can invest in the skills that we've built, the relationships that we've built, and make sure we introduce those to our Uganda, and not just introduce them, invest in healthcare. Our people are dying, and yet we have so many Ugandan nurses here.
Perhaps one of the significant events that took place after this convention was honoring our former colleague, Dr. Shaka Sali, with a Lifetime Achievement Award. They credit Shaka Sali for using his voice to empower millions across Africa, for empowering young generations across the continent, and giving people a voice, especially those who felt like they needed to express themselves.
Of the people of Kabale, this small southwestern Ugandan town where I was born and partly grew up, on behalf of my fans around the globe, on behalf of my mother and my father, on behalf of my friends and critics, I accept the award with humility.
The takeaway from this conference for me was the simple fact that you have a lot of people who flew in from Uganda who are looking for investment in the area of oil. That's one key areas where they're looking for investors. Renewable energy. We have a lot of sun in Uganda where people can tap into that resource. Real estate. Uganda has a shortage of housing. Investment in real estate is critical. Getting investors from here will make a big difference. I'm Paul Ndiho, VOA News, at the National Harbor in the U.S. state of Maryland.
Known as the backbone of Eswatini's transportation system, the MR3 highway is a vital artery that connects communities, and yet for some it has become a place of tragedy. The World Health Organization reported that in 2021, Eswatini recorded nearly 7,300 road traffic accidents, resulting in 229 fatalities and 705 serious injuries. These accidents leave scars that last long after the wreckage has been cleared. From Manzini Eswatini, Nokuku Hanyamusi has more.
Ndumiso Bembe, once a lively young man with dreams of getting a university education, found his life irrevocably changed after surviving a devastating car crash on the MR3 highway that killed five. Like the wreckage of that ill-fated minivan, this 29-year-old man's life was turned upside down. He sustained serious spine injuries that left him confined to a wheelchair. Today, 12 years after that tragic accident, he still struggles to accept his new reality.
This life is so challenging. It's so challenging because it's so expensive. You need money. You can't survive without money. I mean, knowing that you're able to do things and now you have to adjust, that you have to understand that you will no longer be able to do certain things that you know you were able to do. It's more depressing and the most difficult time of this life. You can be depressed and you might lose everything because depression is another psychological damage that can lead to suicidal thoughts.
Between 2021 and 2023, over 2,200 road accidents were reported in Eswatini, resulting in hundreds of fatalities and millions in damages. According to a World Health report, an average of 222 people lose their lives on the country's roads annually. The Eswatini Road Safety Council, supported by the World Health Organization, is determined to bring change through a national road safety strategy aimed at reducing the number of accidents on the country's roads. Dr. Fortunate Shabalala is the chairperson of the Eswatini Road Safety Council.
Working together with government, we have put together a road safety strategy in 2023. That is running up to 2030. We want to make sure that at least 50% of deaths have been eliminated on the country's roads. What does that take? It takes making sure that there is a strong lead agency that is able to coordinate all road safety activities that are occurring in the country.
According to the Motor Vehicle Accident MVA Fund, the MR3 highway, including the Malagwane section, is plagued by an alarming rate of road accidents due to a combination of human errors, vehicle deficiencies, and hazardous road conditions. Makosi Magongo is the Motor Vehicles Accidents MVA Fund Corporate Communications Manager.
There are indeed a lot of crashes there, mainly due to the fact that it is slippery when it rains. It is often dark at night, and it is no longer skid resistant, which make these all hazards that add to the human behavior elements and vehicle fitness challenges that contribute to the occurrence of accidents along that tiny stretch.
Eswatini's National Road Safety Strategy provides a roadmap for the country's efforts to reduce road fatalities by 50% by 2030 and achieve zero deaths by 2063. Nogukanya Musi, VOA News, Manzini, Eswatini.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Find us on voaafrica.com, and there you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. The two major U.S. political parties are expressing concern ahead of November's election about election integrity, meaning the process of registration, the casting of, counting, and certifying of votes, as well as adequately addressing any serious issues that rise. More from VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Herman on Capitol Hill.
Democrats accuse Republicans of limiting access to polling stations and plotting to hamper the certification of the results. Republicans suspect Democratic Party operatives of tampering with absentee ballots, manipulating voting machines, and keeping ineligible voters on the rolls. The Republican nominee, former President Donald Trump, is facing criminal charges over his attempts to overturn his 2020 election loss.
I thought the election was a rigged election, a stolen election.
The Democratic Party's nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris, accuses Trump of undermining confidence in elections while she pledges to uphold fundamental American principles.
From the rule of law to free and fair elections to the peaceful transfer of power.
Federal agencies have been conducting tabletop exercises mindful of January 6, 2021, when Trump supporters, unhappy with the president's defeat, stormed the U.S. Capitol. Has the preparation strengthened election integrity? That is the hope of stakeholders such as the 104-year-old League of Women Voters, whose chief executive officer is Selena Stewart.
But I guess it's a wait and see. We'll have to see what happens, what the outcome of the election is, how people feel about it, what protests, and whether that protest crosses the line into violence. And my hope is that it doesn't.
So far this year, the system has held up well, according to the chairman of the Federal Election Assistance Commission, Ben Hovland.
We've had a lot of primaries already, both the presidential primaries this year, but state primaries. And so election officials have had a lot of practice already this season, and I think we're in good shape going into November.
In Champaign County in the state of Illinois, the local Republican Party in 2020 tried to have a judge compel the county clerk, Aaron Ammons, to stop counting mailed-in ballots.
And he dismissed that claim, and I was able to count the ballots. But they definitely tried it, just like they were trying in other places across the country.
Threats, intimidation, and lawsuits have prompted many election officials and volunteers nationwide to quit, according to Ammons.
It does a disservice, and it really is disheartening to the people who do this work if we're not getting the support that we obviously need for being on the front lines of democracy.
It is important to invite candidates, party officials, and the public to watch the system in operation, according to the director of elections in St. Louis County, Missouri, Eric Fay.
Opening mail ballots, tabulating ballots, testing voting equipment, manually recounting, auditing after the election, all of these things are publicly observable.
Senate Republican leadership wants to pass legislation that would require people registering to vote to provide proof of citizenship. Most Democrats here on Capitol Hill argue that the law already makes it illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections, and there's no evidence to support claims that illegal immigrants in significant numbers are voting. Steve Herman, VOA News, on Capitol Hill.
Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo say at least 129 people died during an attempted jailbreak in the country's main prison in the capital early today. Interior Minister Jacquemin Shabani said on social platform X that most were killed in a stampede. Some women were raped, and 59 other people were injured in the attack. The Associated Press says gunfire inside the overcrowded Makala Central Prison started around midnight on Sunday and continued into today's morning. Makala has a capacity for 1,500 people, but more than 12,000 inmates, most of whom are awaiting trial, are in the prison. Angola's finance minister said today that China needs to step up its financing if the country is to absorb more Chinese-made goods. In an interview with Reuters ahead of this week's China-Africa summit in Beijing, Vera Davis de Sousa said Angola is looking for ways to firm up its finances and food security, grow its fisheries sector, and attract more job-creating investment. China approved loans worth $4.61 billion to Africa last year, the first annual increase since peaking at $28.4 billion in 2016, when 68% of lending went to Angola alone. The finance minister's comments come as China is welcoming leaders from African nations to a summit in Beijing this week. The gathering, which begins tomorrow, is aimed at deepening relations between China and African governments as well as boosting trade. China's naval hospital ship, the Peace Ark, is on a 13-nation tour of mostly African countries, providing free health care for locals and expanding Beijing's soft power influence. Over the past week, it was docked off the coast of South Africa, where the Western Cape province is experiencing an 80,000 backlog in surgeries. Vicky Stark reports.
More than 3,000 people took advantage of the free medical care offered by the Chinese naval hospital ship, the Peace Ark, while it docked in Cape Town's Table Bay Harbour for a week. Simpiwe Mayeke was one of the patients on the ship.
I found about the ship on social media and on the radio as well. And I think it's a good thing that they came here to help us, because our government, I don't think they are doing enough for health issues.
Only 16% of South Africans can afford private health care. Most South Africans go to government-funded facilities that are often under-resourced and where there is a backlog of patients who need surgeries. On board, members of the South African Military Health Services worked with more than 100 of the ship's staff. Nurses and doctors from the ship also worked at several government hospitals in Cape Town on procedures such as cataract operations, says South African military's Chinondiwa Esther Mohale.
We know that everything is very costly, and to actually afford a medical aid cover for some people is a dream that they couldn't reach.
During the visit, a number of surgeries were carried out, but they made a small dent in the thousands of backlogged cases. Nokwandem Daweni came to the ship for help with her acne.
The service they've been offering has been good, excellent. Short period of time that we have to wait, so the queues are moving very fast.
Besides Western medicine, doctors also offer traditional Chinese medicine. The ship has been providing medical care since 2010. Some analysts see the ship as part of China's competition with the U.S. for influence in Africa, and a way of countering allegations from Washington and rights organizations about China's human rights abuses. The larger goal is to win hearts and minds in the court of public opinion, says analyst for the Institute for Security Studies, Peter Fabricius.
It is part of soft power, and soft power was sometimes also called hearts and minds, you know, when the military uses non-lethal means of trying to win over support to their cause. So yeah, it's quite, I would think, probably quite effective.
Leo Pongyu, spokesperson for the Chinese embassy in Washington, says it's about helping others.
The Peace Ark hospital ship visited many African countries to bring health to people in need of help. The relevant actions are an important part of China-Africa health cooperation and also reflect China's active fulfillment of international humanitarian obligations.
The hospital ship's next stop is Angola. Vicky Stark, VOA News, Cape Town, South Africa.
VOA. VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Audrius Regas, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.